Kyle Motes is our guest today on the podcast, the Vice President and 16th Director of Athletics at Eastern Kentucky University. Welcome into the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. And I am Wes Chandler. He, of course, is the great Kyle Motes. Since Kyle, thanks so much for joining us here today. Welcome to EKU.
Thank you very much. I don't know about great. I would question your I would question that a little bit, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Now, you've been on the job here for a little over a week now. What's it been like to be at EKU?
Well, first of all, it's been wonderful. The people have been great. I think that's the biggest thing. They've been very nice and very accommodating, and that's been well received, and I appreciate that very much. It'll be nice when I get my family here, the rest of my family here, but it's just been a lot of meetings, right? You're trying to find out who's who and get acclimated a little bit and refamiliarize yourself with what's going on. And it's been a while since I've been back, and just to see how things have been, changed and been different, and it's been great. But a lot of meetings.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those that don't know, you spent some time at Kentucky and some time at Louisville. Does Kentucky feel like a little bit of a second home to you because you spent so much time here in the Commonwealth?
Yeah, we had a great experience here. We were here for 14 years in Lexington, and then we were 4 years in Louisville. So, 18 years of our professional life, we've been in the Commonwealth. So my son went to school at Louisville. My daughter went to school at Western Kentucky. My son-in-law worked at Murray State. So we've kind of hit a lot of the places here in the Commonwealth. So, yeah, we love Kentucky. We're excited to be back, and we've had a great experience every time we've been here in Kentucky.
So now take me into the process, if you don't mind, of how you landed at EKU. Was there an interest when the job came open right away? What was that process like for you and your family?
Yeah, I don't think the interest was right away. Dan McBride was probably the catalyst behind all of this. We talked just because we're friends, and he asked about potential candidates, and I gave him candidates, none of which were me the first time around. And then after I got thinking about it, I talked to Dan and said, hey, maybe I might have an interest in this, and don't know what your president might think about that. But, we've got a lot of things going on at Missouri State. So, I not something I could do probably right away, but certainly, if you wanted to wait a little bit, maybe I'd have a more of an interest to do that. And Dan basically said, hey, I'll check on it. Of course, there was some time in between when it first opened up and when we actually made the decision. But, it was not something that came right away. But after we thought about it a little bit, we thought, hey, this makes sense. And if there's an interest, then we'll take a chance.
And your days with Dan goes back a little ways too, right? Because you had a previous relationship outside here, right?
Yeah, we've known each other for 25 years, maybe 20 years. I'm not sure exactly what the time is, but yeah, when I was at UK, our paths crossed, and we had worked together and respected Dan and the things that he did, and we just we certainly stayed in touch, and we stayed in touch because my son works here, and when I came back, we'd always talk to Dan, so that friendship always continued, and I just appreciate the fact that he thought of me, right? So I give most of the credit to him.
When you were in the process, were you able to visit campus, and how long had it been since you've been on EKU's campus?
Well, I was talking to Walt today, and the last time I was on campus was, I think, the first home game last year. If I'm not mistaken, it might have been Western Carolina, and there was it rained a lot, and I brought my grandson to the game, and obviously Kirk was working, but that was the last time that I was on campus, and I just was here at the football stadium. I really didn't look at much else but just coming to the football game. But that was the last time that I was on campus. And no, during the whole process, I never was – well, that's not true. Early on in the process, I was on campus and met with President McFadden very early on in the process. But I didn't go anywhere else but to his office, didn't see campus and any of the facilities whatsoever. But I had a pretty good idea what it was.
That's awesome. Now, I want to go back a little bit. Go back to your SIUE days. Take me, you were a golfer and a student basketball assistant, right? Did you do any other sports, or were those two the main ones?
I played tennis in college as well, okay. But not at SIU Edwardsville. I only did golf, and then that paid for half of my scholarship. The other half of my scholarship was a basketball manager. So that was my full ride to SIU Edwardsville. But it was a great experience. I loved it. Wasn't very good in golf, but I was just good enough to get a little bit of money, but wasn't really good. I was like the fifth or sixth player, but I enjoyed it. I loved it. The great thing about golf is you can be one or, you know, five or six, and your score counts just the same. So had a great experience there. Loved the basketball part of it. I enjoyed that a lot. The athletic director there at the time was Lynn Lashbrook, and we were just starting. That was a brand-new school, Division II. My college roommate was on the basketball team. I lived with him, and I got involved in what was called the Cougar Club, which is the same thing as the Colonel Club here. And they just needed people to help. And that was my indoctrination into college athletics, was the ability to just help out in the athletic department. And I loved it. And that's how I got my start. So I'm forever grateful to SIU Edwardsville for even giving me the chance to do a lot of different things. And I enjoyed doing all of those things.
And was Edwardsville close to your home? Because you grew up in Illinois, right?
I did. No, I'm originally from Dixon, Illinois, which is 100 miles west of Chicago. My wife is from Springfield. That's where we met, was down at SIU Edwardsville. So it was a little ways away. But, again, try to be a quick story here. But I picked SIU at Edwardsville. I was at St. Edward's University, which is a private Catholic school in Austin, Texas. I went down there to play golf, and that didn't go very well. I think I lasted maybe a cup of coffee. I lasted a half a semester. Didn't go well. Said, hey, I want to come back. I got homesick, and my dad said, that's great. You can come back, but you're not coming home. You're going to go to school. So he flies down. I had the car down there. We drive back, and I talked to my friend who was going to be my roommate, who is a hometown friend of mine who played in the basketball team. So I lived on the floor for the first two semesters. It was the reason I went to SIU at Edwardsville, because they were on tri-semesters. So the only reason I got in was because it was late to get in. And golf coach said, hey, yeah, you can come, but you're not getting any money. So if you want to walk on, you can. I did that, was a basketball manager. But that's how I got my start. I didn't know much about SIU Edwardsville at all, except it started on tri-semesters, and I could get in, and that's how I got started and was there for 4 years. But my dad dropped me off with my trunk and said, good luck, and drove home. That was how I got to Edwardsville.
All you needed was a chance, right?
That's right. That's all it was. That's all I had was a hope and a prayer. That's all I had.
So now, in your time at Missouri State and then here, of course, over at EKU now, there's been a lot of success on the court and off the court. What do you think is a key, maybe one or two keys, to being successful? Because obviously you want to win and be competitive on the court, but also in the classroom as well.
Well, I think it's twofold. I think coaches have to recruit the right type of kids that want to be successful in the classroom. The second part of that is the kids certainly have to have a desire to be good in the classroom. And then finally, you have to have staff that pushes them and wants them to excel in the classroom. So those three things. And if you don't have one of those, doesn't mean you can't be successful, but you can't maximize your success if you don't have all three of those when it comes to off the court. But I always think it's about people. I think your coaches set the tone. I think your student athletes then have to have a desire to be good both on the court and off the court. And then you have to have support people that the reason they're here is to make sure that the number one thing is the success of the student athlete.
I feel like you could probably talk about this next question for a half hour at least, but how is college athletics changed from when you were named the Missouri State AD to now here at EKU?
Well, I think the two obvious and biggest things are, one, the NIL is certainly the biggest difference, and then just conference realignment, right? Those are the two biggest things that affected college athletics, I think, in the last 10 or 15 years. And the third thing I would add is the mental part of it. That part is been a big issue with student athletes in terms of just it's different than it was maybe 10 or 15 years ago. The mental aspect of it, it was something you didn't say much about, or you didn't want to say much about, and now it's much more in the open, and we have that we have the ability to talk about it and make it better for them. So I think those three things, conference realignment, NIL. I guess you could also throw in the transfer portal issues there, but mental health is certainly the three or four things that I think have changed drastically. Even social media probably from 15 years ago is much different than it was in how we have to deal with that. That wasn't a part of things as much, was just starting 15 years ago, and obviously that's exploded. Again, the more I think about it, the more I keep adding. But those four or five things, I think, have all changed how we've done things. I think kids are relatively the same. They still want to play. They have more rights now than they ever did 15 years ago. It was more one-sided. We tend to, in college athletics, go to extremes. You know, we have one thing, and then we have to change it, and we go all the way to the extreme instead of kind of working our way toward it. The pendulum has switched from maybe all – on the coaches' side of things now, kind of seems like it's all on the student athlete side of things. So we're going to have to get back to the middle a little bit, I think the NIL and just the whole, you know, student athlete rights and collective bargaining, which hasn't started yet, but I think that's kind of what we're talking about. Even though we don't say it's collective bargaining, all the issues that we're talking about are issues that would be if you're talking about issues that you're bargaining for employees. And I know that's kind of, people don't want to hear that, but I think that's where we're headed.
What do you think is the biggest key to getting back to the middle in those things like NIL, transfer portal, all these programs, switching conferences? What do you think is the key to staying kind of ahead of it? Because you don't really want to be left behind in certain situations. What do you think is most important there?
Yeah, I don't know about being left behind. I think what's going to happen is the top is going to, they're going to do something different, right? The Power Five, I don't know what the number is, 60 or 70, whatever the number is, they're going to do their thing, which they need to, because football is just such a different animal. And you're talking about $200 million budgets now, and, you know, we're talking whatever, you know, we've got $21 million, whatever it may be. So there's a huge discrepancy in where we're at and where that level is. So they need to kind of go do what they need to do. So I think the middle will then get bigger, right? Because some of those folks aren't going to make it at that level. So that will make the middle expand a little bit wider. That's when I think we'll see things maybe kind of even out a little bit, because now you'll have some definitive realignment. That they'll have their top 60 or 70 up there, you'll have the middle part of that, and then you might have some folks that just will get back to geographic, I think, alignment, which there's a reason why we had geographic alignment for 100 years or however long we've had it. It made sense. It's smart from a travel perspective. It's smart for our fans. It's smart for, you know, scheduling. So I think, again, I don't know any more than you do, Wes. I can tell you right now. You may think I do, but I don't. But I think that's when it will happen. Once that breaks happens, once we have the employee thing straightened out of who, you know, if they're going to get $22 million, let those 50 schools figure out how they're going to do $22 million. The rest of us can't do that. We shouldn't do that. Doesn't make sense to do that, in my opinion. So I think that'll help us get more about who we are, where we're at, and who we're going to compete with. I think we get asked this question a lot. Who what are we going to be? Who are we? We just need to be really good at who we are. And let's be really good in the A-Sun. Let's be really good in United and just dominate that. And then if we're really good in that, then if we're courted and people have an interest in us, then we can make decisions. We don't make those decisions. Others will make that decision for us. But we have to be really good at what we do. And until we're really good at what we do, then we need to keep striving and working and do that. That should be our goal.
I know you probably haven't, because things have been just so hectic of late here. But have you had a slight moment on your when you have some downtime to be able to reflect on your things you did at Missouri State? 15 years there, that's a quite impressive run.
Well, I really haven't thought about it too much, to be honest with you. That was not something.
You're welcome.
I don't really think about the past a whole lot. I enjoy some of the good things that happened, certainly. But, I think when I think about it, you know, football, getting into the playoffs, we hadn't been in the playoffs since 1989 and 1990. So we got to the playoffs. That was a good thing, certainly. Our baseball team did really well and made some great runs in the regional and had some really good teams. Women's basketball did the same thing. They made a couple Sweet 16s. Those are things on the court, or, you know, and the competition, I think, that are really good. You know, our academics had improved a lot since when I got there. So that was good. Mental health, I think we were on the cusp. We were ahead of things on mental health, which I think is really important. So, you know, our facilities are really good. So, yeah, I mean, again, I wish the next guy the best of luck, or gal, whoever it may be. There's a lot of good foundation there. And then, you know, you can – it remains to be seen if the move to Conference USA is a good thing or a bad thing. And certainly hope it's a good thing. I don't want it to be a bad thing. But it's going to be a monumental task that everybody's going to have to get behind down there if they want to make it a success. And I hope that they do.
So, quick story. My first ever game with EKU football, I believe it was 2010, when EKU played Missouri State. Do you remember that game?
I do. Mark Sandy was down there. It was the Armageddon game, as
yes.
I called it. We had. I thought the world was coming to an end.
I did too.
We had tornado. We had rain. We had snow. We had sleet. What am I missing?
Everything.
Yeah,
I think
it was
we
Armageddon.
Had the movie Twister coming in too.
Yeah, we had everything. Yeah, it was an interesting night, and then we had to play the next day. If I'm not mistaken, we did.
We had to extend our stay. Yep.
Yeah.
And I remember being stuck in a tunnel for like 2 or 3 hours because they were evacuated the press box. And so we had to go underneath to a tunnel for about 2 hours. I was like, wow, what a debut, right?
Well, sorry about that. No, but,
you can't help the weather.
No, we can't control that. But it's a game that I'll never forget. That's
for sure.
Yeah.
I still have that press pass. That was like, I'm not getting rid of that one. So it's been right around a month since the announcement came out that you were named the AD. You were talking about just a little bit of that whirlwind. I know, when do you think that maybe things will settle in a little bit for you?
Yeah, I think the first thing is once you get your house and you get into your family gets here and you get settled that way, I think that's the first part. But, you know, we're meeting with a lot of folks and trying to figure out kind of the best things for everybody to do. Once we kind of get that figured out and people get placed to where they can do their job and they know understand what they're doing, I think that'll be, to me, when I think we start getting settled in. But I still have a lot to understand and a lot to learn and working with the president and his cabinet to try to figure out what we can and can't do. But, again, we have a lot of really good people that want to do well and are doing well, and I look forward to working with them. So, again, if I had never been here before or never been around the area, then I'd probably feel even more, a little mm-hmm. bit more anxiety, but I don't feel like that. I feel like, hey, that all that is kind of easy. It's just trying to get to understand people and their strengths so we can plug them in and do the best job they can. That's the part that, and that won't take long. I really don't believe that'll take that long. I got to get to know our folks and I want to try to figure out how we can help them succeed.
Did you get a glimpse of anything on June 12th when that introductory press conference happened, because all the coaches were there, fan support was there, the really good turnout. I know you had a lot of crew with you as well. Your family was there as well. What stood out to you most about that press conference?
Yeah, I think the crowd was great. I think that was encouraging. It's always nice to have people come out and support athletics. I think we had a lot of people from the community there too at the pre-reception, which was very nice. I did appreciate the coaches that could be there, and I think if they weren't recruiting or they weren't on vacation, they would have been there, and I think that's really nice. I think the local media was good to have out there. I mean, some of those guys I know and remember, so that's good that they decided to come out and support Eastern. That's really good. It got a little emotional because, you know, I thought about the family. That's kind of one of the biggest reasons we were there. And made the decision. It wasn't the only one. We have a lot of success and the tradition here at Eastern Kentucky, and I wouldn't have come here if I didn't think it was a good job and we couldn't be successful. The family part of it certainly was another big key. And then President McFadden, I mean, that was the other thing. Those were the kind of the three things that made a difference. And if those weren't all kind of aligned right, then it wouldn't have been a good job, or I wouldn't have thought it would have been a good job for us. But, you know, the press conference is always those are always fun. If they go well, if you screw them up, then that's not good. But I thought it went all right. I'm not a great guy in front of the camera. I'd just soon have coaches and players in front of the camera and me stay out of the way. That's probably the best way of doing things.
Well, that was one of the takeaways I had from that press conference, is just the importance that you put on family. And I'm sure that meant a lot to you to have your family there and be able to support you like that.
Yeah, it was. And we had most of the family there. We didn't have all the family there. Didn't have my daughter and granddaughter there. So they'll be coming here probably the next week or two. They're also going to come up. So we'll have all of our family here. That's when I said, hey, we'll have everybody here. You may think, well, my wife's not here yet, but she's staying back with my daughter and granddaughter. And then she's expecting in October, my daughter is. So we'll have a new addition here soon. So we'll have four grandkids here. And then maybe we'll be starting to settle in then.
Are you up for that job too?
No.
That may be the best job of all, though, right?
That's the best job for sure. But the best job that my wife will get that job. And she will win that very well. And she'll do that job really good. So she's excited and looking forward to it.
We're chatting with the director of athletics, Kyle Motes, here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. And I got one of the questions I wanted to ask you here is this – probably could go multiple ways too. What do you, in your mind, you were mentioning it a little bit earlier, some ADs like to be hands-on, some like to be in the back room. What do you think makes a successful athletic director?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One, I think you have to understand your folks and let them do what they want to do. I have never been a hands-on guy. I just think that's a little bit too much. I think if you have good people, then you let them do what they need to do and get out of their way. Now, if they're young and they need some guidance, some help, that's a different deal. But I've never been someone that just micromanages. I didn't like to be managed that way, and therefore that's not the way I would lead. But I certainly want to give people the opportunity to succeed. I think good ADs hire really good people, right? They always have to hire better people than what you are. You know, I know it's a cliche, but you hire the right people that have the same values that you do, then it makes it a little bit easier to work with them. And, it just helps when you're trying to get things done if you're on the same page with hiring the right people. I think you got to be able to fundraise, right? We're going to have to get some more resources with the house settlement and athletics escalating in terms of expenses. You know, we're looking at probably $300,000 next year that we're going to get hit with, that we're going to have to find either new revenue sources or we're going to have to make some cuts. And it'll probably be a little bit of both, right? That's a lot. Doesn't scare me. That's part of the deal, right? You have to do that. So I think there's opportunities there. But I think being a part of the community, hiring good people, being a good fundraiser, I think those things are always important as an athletic director. And I think you just have to be honest with people, be consistent. And I think, you know, those qualities and characteristics of you as a person, I think resonate well with who you're working with. And I'm going to be here for 10 hours a day. I want to be able to enjoy the people I'm working with, because it's a long time. And if you're not happy with who you're working with, then you take it home and then it doesn't work well with the wife, and that's not good. So we want to make the culture a good, positive one where it's very family-oriented and people enjoy coming to work.
And under your leadership at Missouri State, you were able to hire some big names, coaches, Konzo Martin, Bobby Petrino, I know I'm going to lead some off, Kelly Harper, just to name a few. Is that kind of your philosophy, or was that just kind of how that particular job went about?
Well, that's a good question. I think you'd probably have to ask them as to why they came to Missouri State, right? I think part of it was leadership that we had in terms of the president, and I think we had really good facilities, which I think helped. I think we were in a good conference, and I think we funded things properly. So those would be the things that I would say. In the football perspective with Bobby, now, that was a little bit different. I think Bobby was wanting to get back in to be a head coach. We caught him at the right time, and he wanted to coach. And he's a hell of a coach. I mean, he can flat out coach, and he proved that. I mean, he took something that again, we didn't have the resources that, you know, some of the other people had in the Valley, and he was able to get us to win. And that was really important for us. It proved to people, Wes, it proved to people that we could win. You go that type of, 30 years or whatever it may be, 25 years, you go that long and you don't win very much, then people kind of think, what are we doing, right? But he proved that we could win, and that was important. But, I think reputation maybe in the marketplace and in college athletics, I think, might have had a little bit to do with it. I mean, if they don't know you or don't respect you, and in women's basketball, Kelly did well. Then we had Amaka come in and coach Mox, and she did a great job. And then we got Beth Cunningham. So those three coaches are really prime time, big time coaches. And part of that was the tradition and history you had in women's basketball with Cheryl Burnett and Jackie Stiles. That really helped, right? I mean, no matter what I did, that was there. And history and tradition was a big part of that. And all three of those coaches have been wildly successful. And Beth will continue to be successful. And, Zoe was there before. He was there when I got there in 2009. I didn't hire him originally. Coach Rowe hired him. And then he went on to Tennessee. We got to hire him back. But he was the only coach that had won a Missouri Valley Conference regular season title at Missouri State. So people were excited. Again, another thing, it can be done. He did it. And the most successful time we've ever had, I think, at least in the modern era, was when we beat Wichita State at home when the place was packed and going crazy. And people won't forget that. So he can do it, and I hope that they are great, and I hope they win every game that they play.
Have you got a chance to meet with all the coaches here?
All but one. And I've talked and texted with him. He was in California. But other than that, I've hit everybody. Yep. Again, it may be a quick pass. It may be a, hey, how you doing? But I have met all of them but one. Yeah.
And pretty good takeaways from
them? Oh, yeah. Again, like I said, there was some I had more conversation with than others, but I wanted to make sure that at least I touch base with everybody. I think they're we haven't had a head coaches meeting yet, but we will. And, again, I will be different than others. And most of the coaches are going to be who they are, right? They're not going to change just because I walked in the door. But there are some things that we'll have to focus on that'll be mainstays with us and staples in terms of academics and compliance and staying on budget. Those things are they're going to have to be important, and I think they will be important with this staff. And we always want to win, but we certainly want to put the student athlete at the heart of the program and be compliant. And, you can't spend more than what you have. That's not the way it works.
What are you most looking forward to this year? If you could just pinpoint one thing this upcoming sports season.
Yeah, I love to compete. So this will probably be the same thing I would say every year, not just this year. But I enjoy watching our kids compete. I really do. And one of the great satisfactions I get as an athletic director is when I see a freshman walk in, and usually if I'm at practice and I'm watching, basketball or football, where it may be, and they don't know who I am. They don't. If they do know, they kind of look down because they don't want to talk to me because, whatever, it's an AD. It shouldn't be that way, but that's just the way they feel. And then by the time they're a senior or a upperclassman, they're coming over and high-fiving and saying, hey, Moats, how you doing? That's great satisfaction to me. I love that. So I think just getting to know the kids and walking around and seeing them, because I will do that. I'll go to practice. I love practice. I mean, I love the games, but I love going to practice because you see a lot what's going on. You see how the kids are. You see how the coaches interact. And I will do that. And right now I can't do much of that because we're just doing all these meetings. So I think that'll be the biggest thing to me, is just getting a chance to get out and meet some of our student athletes and find out how good they really are, what kind of people they are, and then get to see them perform when they play. So that'll be what I'm excited about, just watching our kids participate and play.
Did you know you always wanted to become an athletic director? Was that the dream from day one?
Oh, I don't know. I remember in eighth grade, we kind of did this thing before we went to high school. This, our social studies teacher said, what do you want to do? And I wrote down, we had a indoor tennis complex called Westwood in Sterling, Illinois. They had indoor tennis courts. They had a track. They had basketball courts. And I said, I want to run Westwood. And that's so it wasn't exactly an AD, but it's pretty close, pretty close. So I've always wanted to stay in intercollegiate athletics. It's really the only thing that I think I know pretty well. I mean, if I got out somewhere else, I'd probably fail miserably. I don't know. But I enjoy it. I've been around it my entire life. And I love the people you get to meet, and not just in intercollegiate athletics, but outside of it, in terms of business folks and donors. And they're just the great thing about intercollegiate athletics is you can be a doctor, you can be a politician, you can be a salesman. You fill in the blank. When we go to watch the game, we all come together. It doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter how much money you make, you're all rooting for your team. And that's the part that I love, that everybody gets behind your team and supports it. And that's the part that I love about intercollegiate athletics.
The game brings everyone together. Oh, yeah. That's an amazing feeling, too. Are there any misconceptions about the job that fans might have out there that think that the job is something that it isn't? Or is there any misconceptions about being a director of athletics?
I don't know, Wes. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know for sure if I should have a better answer than that, but I don't. I think maybe people think that all we do is kind of go around and watch games. You know, I don't know. That's
if only it were that easy, right?
Yeah, I remember, you know, again, I go back a little bit, and my mom and dad, they said they didn't know what I did when I first started. They just, you're in marketing. What does that mean? What do you do? And they always knew I went to games and had a game management and do those types of things. But I think they thought, I don't know if they ever thought what it really was, but I think people think that we just show up and it's all fun to go to the games and we cheer on things. And really that's, I don't want to say that's the least part of it, but you work to get to that point, right? That's really what you do, is you work really hard to get to that point. But I don't know. I think people understand maybe a little bit more now that it's more of a business than maybe it used to be. But again, I think people have a pretty good perspective of what we're trying to accomplish. And I think maybe more emphasis is on student athletes now than maybe what they think. They just see what they do on the field or on the court, and there's so much more to who they are than just that. So that might be what the misconception might be, I would say.
Wrapping up here with Kyle Motes here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. Has there been anyone that has had the biggest influence on your career so far?
Yeah, I think I'd go back and just the people that I've worked for. You know, Kathy DeBoer, who was the longtime senior associate at UK. She's the first person I worked for. She was really good and probably gave me my appreciation for women's athletics more than what I had when I first started when I was 21 years old. You know, Gene DiFilippo, another one who was at UK. He was a fundraising guy there. Larry Ivey, Coach Newton. I mean, all those guys were the first people that I worked for. And you know, I had a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Newton. He just was a great guy to work for. Laid back, kind of a Southern guy, but he was really smart and crafty and really good guy. And you know, Tom Jurich at Louisville was really good. I mean, different than Coach Newton. He was much more bullish, much more aggressive, but he just a different way of doing things, but was highly successful at what happened down at Louisville, and just a different way of doing things. So you know, Harry Gallatin was my golf coach at Edwardsville. He was an old NBA basketball player, played for the Knickerbockers, Harry the Horse, and he gave me an opportunity, right? He gave me a chance. He didn't give me anything. He said, well, he gave me an opportunity to walk on, and then if you earn it, then I got it. And that, I was just appreciative that he gave me an opportunity, but he was the one that got me at the University of Kentucky. And this, I'll give you another story here quickly. Coach Gallatin and Cliff Hagan played together on the St. Louis Spirits. The old ABA.
Okay.
And he said, hey, I got this kid that at Edwardsville that, you know, wants to get into college athletics. I'm not sure what he wants to do, but do you have anything that you may have an opening at UK for him? And Coach Hagan said, hey, I have him come down and I'll talk to him. So my dad and I drove down, talked to him, and anyway, short story. And he said, yeah, I think we can maybe work with him at women's athletics and events in Memorial Coliseum. I said, I don't know how much it costs. I don't know what it pays. Yes, right. I'll take it.
Sign me up.
And that's how I got started.
Man, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Outside of the job, are there any hobbies you enjoy? Because you know that being an athletic director doesn't have normal office hours, stuff like that. But is there anything outside the job that you really enjoy doing?
You know, my hobby probably has become my grandkids.
Right.
Because I enjoy everything about them, like every grandfather does, right? They can do no wrong. And I just love spending time with them. So they will be around, and I won't apologize for that. They'll be around, and that's why part of the reason why we came back here. So our hobbies is doing things with our grandkids. You know, I love to play golf. I have played 9 holes this whole entire spring, so the golf game is non-existent, but I love golf. But I like to compete, so it doesn't matter. Kirk plays pickleball a lot. I don't know how much he can play, but he plays a lot. I think he's pretty good. I think he thinks he can beat me, and that'll be good. I'll get to play with him. So I'm looking forward to playing him. And if he beats me, then I'll have to practice more because I don't want to get beat by him. So that would be a hobby. And then, we used to have a lake house. So we like the lake. My wife likes the lake, and she likes boating. So the best lake house and the best boat is somebody else's boat and somebody else's lake house. So hopefully we can find that out and maybe enjoy it that way. But those are things that, you know, again, I love to compete. My hobby is my work, and I enjoy that. So when I get time off, I'll spend time with the grandkids.
So the guys were telling me earlier there's going to be this new series coming out. So we may want to see a little interactive comotes. Is that?
Yeah, this
we're
is
just
Steve's
tease
idea.
It, but yeah,
this is Steve's idea. So I like all sports. I met with the donor yesterday, and they said, "What's your favorite sport? You got to have a favorite sport as an athletic director." I said, "Well, I'm going to give you the political answer.
That's a dangerous question.
I don't have a favorite sport. I like them all." Yeah. So we're going to kind of bounce this around and. Is it Ken Kyle? Is that it? Yeah, I believe that's it. Ken Kyle, do fill in the blank. So, boy, after the first attempt at a field goal, that was I guess we're going to keep going, but that was a tough one for me. But we'll see how that goes. It'll be a lot of fun, and I get to meet with coaches and student athletes, and I think that's the fun part of it. And anything we can do to try to help engage folks and get them interested in Eastern Kentucky athletics, that's good.
That'll certainly be a must-watch TV.
Yeah, it sure will, yeah.
So now we got to introduce you to this wheel here that we have. It's a regular here on the podcast, a bunch of random, lighthearted questions, and we're going to spin it, one spin, and you answer it. All
okay.
Right? Sound good?
Ready?
We're going to have to see what we get here.
That was a bad spin.
What
do we
get?
A really bad spin.
We got the Uno reverse. Okay, so what that is, it's wild. So we switch roles. Now you get to ask me a question.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Do we need to, like, have a minute to think of something?
No. I want to know what your very first broadcast event was.
My very first broadcast event was I was calling my high school game. I had graduated So I played basketball. I graduated in 2009. So high school in 2009. Basketball season was over in March. I get on to the local radio station back in my hometown, and I'm calling a softball game like a month later. So very early 2009, like early summer 2009. It was a high school softball game. It was very bad. Because I was extremely nervous. A lot of dead air, which is something you don't want in broadcasting. So that was not a good thing. But it's come along, I feel like.
Well, you took probably the toughest one you could take because baseball and softball requires a lot of talking.
It does.
It is a lot of dead time. So unless you had somebody with you.
And doing it solo is not a great
idea,
too. Well,
you took the hardest one you could possibly take.
And you think about it, in high school press boxes, they're not exactly luxurious either. So the conditions, I think I'm fighting off spider webs in the corner, looking through a fence. It was not great.
Well, you have to have an understanding of all sports if you're doing that. So good for
you
to understand softball, baseball, and obviously basketball. So
yeah.
Good for you.
Well, let's do one more. You good with that?
Whatever you want to do.
Let's do one more. Let's get to know Kyle Motes a little bit better. That one's a better spin.
Yeah, I didn't do very good in that first one.
What do we got here?
Oh, Steve likes it, whatever it is. That's not good.
Oh.
Not karaoke.
You got the vocal cords warmed up?
Oh, for the love of it, you got to be kidding me. I can't. No way. Let me just double check that.
Maybe we shouldn't have spent it one more time.
Oh, it is. Golly, how bad. They must have this thing rigged to do that. They got to have it rigged. I'm telling you, I can't sing a lick. I love music.
Do you have a song, though?
No, I do not have. No, I can't. I don't have any song that I sing in karaoke. I love Sweet Caroline. I think that's a great song to play at the third quarter and all that kind of stuff. But I am not. I cannot sing a lick, but I do love really all genres of music. I really do. I love country. I love pop. I love oldies, you know. Anyway, so, but I can't sing a lick. I just can't do it.
That's fantastic. Kyle, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Wes.
Had a great time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That is Kyle Motes here on the podcast. And we've had a lot of fun talking with the director of athletics. My name is Wes Chandler. Until next time, you've been kicking it with the Colonels.